Well, last week we started here at the beginning of the year a series that we're going to just call Back to the Basics. And last week I talked about a little bit about getting back to the basics, even with a basketball. Like, I was talking about the team that I'm getting to work with this year, my third and fourth graders. And so there, just the importance of basics. This week I was out and got to be on a little tour, field trip with my one kid's was it Sarah's class? They were over at some place in Hershey, and they got to get a tour of, and then get demonstrated how to make a cake and decorate a cake. And I went away inspired, like, I'm ready to make a cake. And like, they in a matter of like 5 minutes, this lady, she had this $30 cake all done and looking perfect and everything. And as quick as she did it, I was thinking, as I'm gonna go and do this, that there are some basic things that I need to learn and like just to focus on probably, and getting some basic tools to do it, and how important that is just to focus on the basics before you can dream of getting into this. Like, this one cake, the lady beside me, she was working on this thing, it was beautiful. It's like, I know this is like a $150 cake, and I'm like, what? Someone's just gonna eat that. And it's like, wow. And so I know there's a lot of basic things that I need to do, and the basics are important. And so in the Christian life, that's what we're talking about. There are some basics and fundamentals that we need to not lose sight of. And the first one that we started looking at last week was that of prayer. And we are just coming off a week of prayer where hopefully you were able to have time just to pray around some certain ways that we had listed in this and over the time that we have had apart since last Sunday. And so this week we want to just keep on going along with this idea of prayer and the importance of it. Richard Trench, an Archbishop of Dublin, in the late 1800s, he said this, I shared this quote last week, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, it is laying hold of his highest willingness." You just think about that. What prayer is, and maybe you struggle with prayer and you're like, oh, you know, I don't know, it's so hard. But to think that that's what it is. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. And it really speaks of our view of God. What do we think of God? Is he a reluctant God? No, he is a generous, he is gracious, he is good. And that's what we talked about last week, that it is laying hold of his highest willingness. Like, he longs to bless you and he longs for the good for you. And prayer is coming to a God like that. And so prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, it is laying hold of his highest willingness. And here's the thing, what we believe about God, it changes everything about our lives, and that includes our prayer lives and how we come to him. R.C. Sproul, he says it this way, of how our view of God affects our prayer lives. People who don't believe that prayer matters or that prayer works are people who simply don't pray. And so this week, we want to look at another passage really briefly and quickly as we gather together here, and it's in James chapter 5. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn there. James chapter 5, and we're going to turn to this familiar passage and start in verse 13. But the context here is that James, he's just come off of as here we are at the end of his letter. And James has addressed a lot of practical issues in regards to what it looks like to live the Christian life. Things like not showing favoritism, the importance of faith being fleshed out in how we live. He talks about the words and the speech and the things that come out of our mouths. And he touches on all kinds of things. But here at the end, he comes back to where he starts in a way at the beginning of what he writes in the first chapter. Whenever he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And so James isn't addressing a people who are all enjoying the easiest seasons of life. Some of them are facing some of the hardest of times, and he wants his readers to hear this as he concludes this letter to them in verse 13. And this is the passage that we're looking at, the brief passage that we're looking at today. And it says this, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning, as we come to this passage, this morning as we have had the joy and the privilege of meeting in this place together and already being reminded of your goodness, of your grace and your mercy, Lord, here would you speak to us now. We need to hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, here we are at the end of this little letter that James is writing, and he brings it all to a close in a way he's taken us back to where he started. And what he has to say is an encouragement to what he wants to leave them with and what he wants them to do. And what is it? But he says, let's pray. Let's pray, folks. Verses 13 and 14, what are the situations that James brings up? He's not just talking about one situation, but he's naming there's various kinds of situations. He brings up three situations. Is any one of you among you suffering? Another way that he could be saying this, is anyone experiencing difficulty in your life? Is that anybody? Yeah, I think most of us in this room can say that. From the context of what has already been written about, we could be talking about maybe in regards to finances, maybe in regards to illness, maybe persecution, physical healing. It is a broad term. And then he says, not only are you experiencing difficulty, but is there anyone who is cheerful? There are those good times in life, and we thank the Lord for that. Things are going good. Is anyone among you sick? It's the third situation that James is addressing here. It's commonly viewed here as talking about a time of illness or sickness, but the word translated here, it could refer to all kinds of situations where maybe there's an illness or a sickness. Mental ability, spiritual condition, physical abilities, it can be very general. And so what is the response here to each one of these that we see? It is very simple. And this is a simple point this morning, and it is what we called it. Let's pray. And let's be a church, and let's be a people that are praying. I love it. His response to each one of these is, if you're in any of those situations, what is your response to be? It's to pray. No matter what the situation, are you experiencing difficulty and suffering? What should you do? Pray. Are you cheerful? Is all going well? Then sing praise. And isn't praise just simply, aren't they essentially prayers of adoration and gratitude? Are you weak right now? Then the direction is yet again, pray. Not only do we believe that God is loving and gracious, and that he is a father who is eager to bless his children, but he wants us to ask, and he wants us to come to him. Jesus said this of prayer in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? He gives good things to those who ask him. And so this morning, that is, I want to encourage us, keep going to him and ask. Because through prayer, what does this passage tell us in verse 15? The one who is sick is saved. There is forgiveness to be had. There is healing to be experienced. And we pray, and prayer matters because it has great power. And so who is to pray? Does this passage say? Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins. Psalm 10. Wrong chapter. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So prayer has great power, but who does this passage say is to pray? Is it just the individual who is sick? No, clearly there is other instruction here given in verse 13 to the person who is suffering, let him pray. So we are to pray on an individual basis, but not only is he the one who is called on to pray, Verse 14 goes on and says there are others who are to pray. It's right. It's the elders. The shepherds of the church are to come and pray, anointing with oil, not because there's some special power in the oil, but because of its symbolic significance. Because there's plenty of people who experience healing without oils being involved. But the exhortation to pray is not just for someone to exercise on an individual level. It's not just for the elders to do, but in verse 16, he says, I want the whole church to be praying for one another so that healing may be found. He wants sin to be confessed because at times sin is taking us down. And so James is saying to us that no matter what your condition, no matter your situation, take it to the Lord in prayer. And if you're in need of strength, if you're in need of healing, and God's provision and supply in any way, then pray. I want you to pray as individuals, as leaders, as a church, because prayer is powerful and effective. And here then he leads to an example that is full of encouragement. He says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And as we're reminded, what does Paul write to the church in Rome in Romans 3:10? Who is righteous? Is anyone righteous? No one is righteous. He says, no, not one. And so how is it that anyone is made righteous? It is only because of the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ alone that anyone is righteous. And so he's saying that the prayer of the believer is powerful. The prayer of the person who is trusting in Christ for salvation is a powerful thing. So isn't that encouraging to every single one of us in here that we don't need to be somewhat super Christian, whatever that is, but someone who is placing their faith and trust in Christ, and that that is a powerful and effective thing. And so in this passage, he says this, let me give you an example, and let me tell you about this guy named Elijah and remind you of him and what he did. He says, you remember this prophet back in 1 Kings 17 and 18? And there's this time when Elijah, he predicted that there was a drought, and then he prayed for rain, and God brought it. Do you remember all the amazing things that Elijah did? Well, get this, he was just a man. He was a man just like us. And if God used him in those ways, and he heard his prayers, and he's just like us, guess what? He's going to hear your prayers also. That's encouraging. And so how are we to pray? What was Elijah's example if we're going to look to him? He fervently prayed. Fervently prayed. And so let's pray the prayer of faith as individuals, as leaders, as a church, believing that God is willing, that he's able, that he was always going to accomplish his will. And who's the focus at the center of all of this? It's God, right? He's the one who is at the center, and he's the one that we're trusting, and he's the one that we're crying out to. It is not about us. It's not even about his hand, Lord, but it's about we want to seek your face, Lord. We want to know you. He's the one who is healing. What we're talking about here is God-dependent prayer. That's the prayer that is powerful and effective. And so as James calls us to pray, and when we're in the midst of all our circumstances, because we believe that prayer matters, we want to be a church that's praying and seeking his face. This morning, I just wanted us to take time as a church. We're coming off of a week of praying and fasting. And this morning, I knew our time would be shorter, and I just wanted to take time for us to pray. And so, I don't know, this might be a little uncomfortable for some, and if you're a guest with us this morning, I'm so glad that you're here. It is our joy to have you as our guest this morning. We hope you'll come back, but this morning as we come to the end of our time, I just wanted us to break into groups of maybe 5 to 10, however it breaks out, and for us to pray as a church together. And pray in certain ways. We've been praying in a number of ways as a church family throughout this week, but I want to just have us take time and circle up and just pray and thank prayers of thanksgiving and thank God for his goodness in our lives. And if you don't feel comfortable praying out loud, that's fine. Just, you know, you don't have to, you know, no need to. But if you would be willing to, just pray out just prayers of thanksgiving for God's goodness in our lives. And then we'll sing a song, and then I'll just direct us to pray another way, and we'll sing another song and end that way. But this morning, instead of just talking about prayer, that we would pray together as a church family, because we're a praying church. That's what we do. And so let's all stand and find like a few people around you, and let's make a circle and go ahead and let's pray, and just start out with something simple. If it's, we don't need to talk about stuff before we pray, but let's just pray and ask the Lord to work.